Hello, Mama, and welcome to a special edition of the Healthy Hustlers podcast. I'm Madeline Carafa, host and creator of the Healthy Hustlers podcast and mama to beautiful baby girl, Georgia Florence. Since becoming a mum in September 2019, I've quickly realised just how important having a supportive network of mamas around you is for advice, guidance, or simply to just know you're not alone. And I'm here to tell you that no matter where you are not alone either. And I hope this series makes you feel exactly that. Motherhood, as beautiful and magical as it is also challenging, tiring, and a massive guessing game. Spoiler alert, no one has it all together. We are all just flying blind, doing the absolute best that we can. There is absolutely no right or wrong. I hope that this four-part series provides you with some further guidance, laughter, but most of all, I hope it reminds you that you are doing a wonderful job. I'm thrilled to welcome the soon-to-be Tammy Weller for the very first episode of the Motherhood series. Tammy is mum to two beautiful girls, Ruby and Safana. She's the founder and designer of the Milk Boutique, a nursing-friendly activewear brand, and recently engaged to her long-term partner and father of her two beautiful girls, Jason. And if that's not enough, Tammy hilariously shares her life as a working mama with her adoring community on Instagram, documenting the real life highs and lows of motherhood, as well as absolutely nailing a TikTok video like no one else. I hope you guys love this first episode of the Motherhood series. Here's Tammy. This episode of The Healthy Hustlers is proudly brought to you by Lovekins, an all-natural, organic and toxic-free Australian skincare range for mothers and babies. Hello, beautiful Tammy, and welcome to The Healthy Hustlers podcast. How are you?
I'm very, very well. Thank you very much for having me. I'm very excited.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you. I absolutely love following you online. You bring so much brightness and light to my life. You're just always full of energy. It's so refreshing to see. So thank you for that.
No problem.
So I would love to start, I guess, at the moment. Obviously, we all know that 2020 is a bit of a crazy ride. It keeps just dishing up the goods at the moment. So I feel like this year, self-care is a really, really important tool that we need to be prioritizing. And I think too, as a mum, it can be a hard thing to sometimes find time for, but it's so important. So I'd love to know a self-care practice that you've been incorporating lately that's really helped you either with your health or mentally, I guess, to just be a happier, healthier version of yourself.
I think for me, my self-care is like binge watching Netflix or doing something that like just stops me thinking about the kids or like the housework, work. Anything that could potentially stress me out, I just find like sitting down and watching a really good series and getting into it just like turns my brain off, or like listening to a podcast or going for a run or something like that. That's usually what I try to do. I don't have like a set routine. You know, some people might wake up at a certain time every single day and do a particular self-care routine. I just kind of do whatever I can, because obviously when you've got kids, every day is different. But that's what I find really helps me, just to like try and switch my brain off, which is what I struggle with when I've got so many things on the go.
So many tabs open all the time.
Oh mate, like at least 50 to 100 a day.
Oh, that is so good. And you just made me feel so much better as well, because I always watch people, I guess, on social media and that seem to have these like amazing morning practices and routines. And I'm like, holy moly, if someone came into my house in the morning, they'd be like, this is a schmozzle. What is going on here?
You know what? I've been trying to like lately, trying really hard to get up before the girls, because it really does, like I've done it before and it definitely puts a good start to my day, but my brain refuses to wake up to the sound of my alarm. Like it's actually a problem now. This morning, actually, my alarm was going off and I just started dreaming that this music wouldn't leave me alone.
And I saw that on your stories, actually.
Right. It's a problem. So I'm trying to make that a thing for me, but it's just not working.
Yeah, so. I love that. Look, the intention's there. So it's so hard though. I must admit, like, I was really good at getting up early when I was in my corporate days. But as soon as you have a baby, it's like they become your alarm anyway. And it's like, if you can sneak a little bit of extra Z's, why not? That's what I think anyway.
I know. I'm trying to make that a thing, but it's just not happening for me right now. So I'll try in other ways, like, you know, watching a good series with Jace and trying to go for a run when I can. That definitely helps me anyway.
So can you tell us a little bit about yourself and also your beautiful little family?
Yeah, of course. So I am 29. I think people think I'm older. I don't know why, but maybe I look older. I have recently gotten engaged after a very long wait, 10 years, not too long at all. And yeah, that only happened like a fortnight ago, I think it was now. So it's very recent for me, which is really exciting. And yeah, I've got two girls. Savannah is 1.5 and then Ruby's 4. I'm a business owner, which I have been for nearly 4 years. I think it's 3.5 now. Nursing friendly activewear designer called The Milk Boutique. And then also on top of that, I do, I guess you could call it mum blogging stuff, just randomly posting about funny stuff and like things that happen to me on the daily. So that's a little bit of an insight of my life.
Love your channel so much. How long have you been doing your Instagram for?
I actually only switched it over, I think it was at the end of last year. So when I started my Instagram, I started out as a business, The Milk Boutique. And then, I started selling all of my nursing-friendly activewear and just, like, I started getting online and, like, talking about things that I was designing and, like, connecting with other mums. And I ended up just sort of organically building this community. And then at the end, so that probably went on for, like, yeah, like 3 years. And then at the end of last year, I was like, you know what, I think – I'm going to like divide them up so that, you know, if anyone wants to connect with me and talk to me, they don't necessarily have to hear about my business. So I can separate the two. And then honestly, it's been the best thing that I've ever done. I can share more on my Tammy TMB page that is, unprofessional, you know, just silly stuff without people seeing it reflect off of my business. So it is a separate entity now. So yeah, I love it so much that I've done that.
Yeah, I love that. Do you know, it's so funny because it's something I've been thinking a lot about because I started the Healthy Hustlers originally with one of my closest girlfriends, hence why it's plural. And now it's obviously just my account and it's something that I put so much, I guess, love and time into creating content. And I'll get messages from people like being like, hey girls and stuff, and it like literally just like breaks my heart that tiny little bit every time because I'm like, oh my goodness, they don't even know that this is just me. So I love that advice. That's so nice and reassuring to hear, to be honest. So
yeah, I often get the email about, hey team, and like thinking that I'm a lot bigger than what I am, but it's usually just me and two other people running The Milk Boutique. So yeah, it is a compliment.
Yeah, I love that. And it is, yeah, definitely. So talk to me a little bit about Milk Boutique, such beautiful products that you are creating and such beautiful designs. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, like when I had Rubes, my four-year-old now, I just like me and my partner are very entrepreneurial. Like we just, if I have an idea, he's like, yeah, let's do it. And we just like dive deep and take risks and just go for it. And I used to be a practice manager at a physio clinic and I just got like, it was just boring. Like, you know, I was doing it for like 7 years and I was like stuck in a rut. And when I was pregnant with Ruby, I would try and exercise and I just found a hole in the market and I started thinking about it more and more and more. And the idea, you know, when you've just got an idea in your head and you just can't get rid of it. Like, it's just something that you just like, I don't know. Yeah. Like you get like a desire or like a fire in your heart and you just can't drop it. So yeah, any sort of break that I had at work, I was like, you know, Googling patterns and like all these different, like researching exactly how many brands were around that had nursing friendly activewear. And there just weren't many at all. Like I could literally count maybe 3 at the time. And only one of them was in Australia. So yeah, I just went from there. I have absolutely no background in designing anything to do with apparel. I just went in absolutely blind. I didn't realize at the time how much there would be to learn, but sometimes just like jumping in there and just learning on the spot is the best way to learn because you have no other choice.
Would not agree more. And I love that so much that you just had that little burning desire. It's like a little voice just keeps knocking on your door, isn't it? Like, hello, yeah. I'm still here. I'm still telling you to go in the right direction. So beautiful 100%. That you listened to that and really stepped into that fear. And look at you now. You've got two booming businesses.
Yeah, I know. It's surreal. It's weird. If I think about it too much, I'm like, whoa.
How did that happen?
That escalated quickly.
So I guess becoming a mum in itself is like such a huge transition and such a change in your life. And I'm definitely learning that. I never expected it, which sounds so stupid now saying out loud, but I just never expected it to be such a huge transformation, I guess. I'd love to know kind of what have been some of the biggest changes in you personally since becoming a mum.
You know what? I think I've realized how resilient I am. I was obviously one of those sorts of people that would worry about things ahead of time. And if you had told me I'd be in this position over 3 years ago, I would have been like, whoa, like really? I'm a mum of two, a business owner, a content creator. Like it would just the thought of things sometimes is worse than what it actually is. So now that I'm like, you know, in the deep thickness of motherhood, I think I've realized just how resilient I am, you know, sleep deprived and all. I feel like I've learned to adapt like there's no tomorrow. You know, no day is the same when you have kids. It's just you have to learn to bounce and adapt. I feel like sometimes I just don't give myself enough credit for how strong I actually am. There's obviously days where I want to have a breakdown and there's plenty of them. But then like the next day I just, you know, as a mother, you just keep on keeping on. Like I think I just don't take myself and my strengths for granted anymore since becoming a mum, if that makes sense.
I love that. That is so, so beautiful. And as soon as you said that, I was like, oh my goodness, you've just articulated that so beautifully and so well. Oh, and thanks. I think so many mums can definitely would be able to relate to that as well. And yeah, I think, you know, it's so funny when I was pregnant, I like had probably the biggest period of growth in my business. And I was like, heavily pregnant, and I remember thinking, oh my goodness, if you had have told me that I would be doing all of this at like 35 weeks pregnant, I would have completely laughed in your face. Yeah. And be like, that's not even possible. And it's so funny, like our mind can really trick us into almost putting these thoughts and experiences and feelings towards something that you've never actually even experienced before. And it's so easy to get kind of caught in that rat race of spinning a negative story and telling yourself a negative story. And then you actually do it. And you, like you said, you're just so adaptable and resilient and you keep showing up every day. And I think that's definitely the beauty of motherhood. You absolutely realize your strengths. So I'm so glad that you've realized that and just how capable you are.
Yeah, kids just throw constant curveballs at you like every second of the day. You just dodge them and just keep going.
It's so true. Oh, my goodness. God bless. I've only got one and I'm learning that, so I can't imagine having two. Now, you did mention sleep and being sleep deprived, and I think sleep is a million-dollar question with parents. It's like no matter what they're going through, everyone wants a solution to sleep. You know, if it's the comforters or the schedules or the books to read, it's definitely the hot topic of motherhood. So I'd love to know if you kind of have any philosophies when it comes to sleep, or did you follow schedules and routines with the girls?
Yeah, it's definitely a hot topic. Like if I ever bring it up as content, you know, if I've got something to talk about, I can guarantee that there'll be like 101 answers within 5 minutes. Like everyone's always looking for the solution, and I don't know why, but people always ask me for tips and tricks, and I'm like, I am the first one to tell you that I bed share, that I still feed to sleep. Like I've got a girlfriend whose baby she's not a baby anymore, she's a toddler, she's the same age as Savannah. She will sleep from 7 till 7 all night with no wake up, and there's only a handful of times that she hasn't done that. And it's actually like I'm gobsmacked if I ever see her, put her to sleep. I'm like, that's insane. Like, that's just not normal. And it's very easy for me to, like, you know, go home and judge myself and think, why should, you know, maybe I should have tried harder with Sav and Ruby along the way. Maybe I should have read the same book. Maybe I should have tried to sleep train. But at the end of the day, there's no point beating myself up about it. If I can get sleep by having Sav sleep in my bed every single night, then so be it. Like, there is just no need for the unnecessary pressure that, you know, one size fits all, one sleep method fits all babies. It's just impossible. So if you can get sleep and it means you're not sleep training, then just go for it. Obviously, I'm not like an advocate for bed sharing. I'm not telling people to go and do that. I'm just like an advocate for just do whatever you can to get a good rest, because it won't last forever. That is my tips and tricks.
Amen to that. I could not agree more. And it's funny, I'm going through all of that at the moment where, yeah, some girlfriends just have literally babies that go straight to sleep. And I'm like, oh my goodness, here I am rocking Georgia for like 45 minutes and she's still not going to sleep. But
yeah,
I think, you know, everyone's just doing their best, and you choose the way that there's no right or wrong, really, is there? Like, it's you choose what works for you and the way that you want a mother. And I'm sure every child was different. Did you find a difference between Ruby and Savannah?
Yeah. Oh yeah. They're like chalk and cheese in certain ways. But, you know, when Ruby was born, I went into it listening to society and listening to, you know, your baby should sleep in the cot, not in your room. Like, I kind of unconsciously had that thought pattern. So of course I, you know, gave birth, I was a first time mum. I would put her in the bassinet in our room. I think she slept in there up until maybe 6 months. She was doing pretty good. Like, I would really try hard. I would become even more sleep deprived because I would try and get her back to sleep in her bassinet. When in reality, I probably should have just done what I do with Seth and just put her straight in our bed. But at the time, I didn't know. I tried really hard. She got into a really, really good sleep routine. Like, you would just put her in the swaddle, she'd go straight to sleep. And then, like, of course, the beloved leaps started to hit and it just sends you backwards. And I was like, oh, whatever. And, you know, I'd feel really quite like ashamed in a way that I would tell people that she sleeps in our bed, because people were like, isn't that dangerous? You know, and I would just feel like quite judged. And she pretty much from there onwards, when she went backwards, slept in our bed until about close to 3 years, here and there, not every single night when she got to like two. But, you know, I remember being pregnant with Sav, heavily pregnant, and Ruby would still come into our bed all the time, and I'd be so stressed about what I would do with two kids in the bed, one being a very fragile little newborn. But you know what? It all just worked out well. Jason kind of took over the role of Rubes and, like, got her in her bed, and you know what? It's over. Like, she's already four somehow and sleeping in her bed most nights or every night, and now I'm, you know, this time around with Sav, I'm like, oh, bugger it. You know, it's just not worth the fight for me and my kids. So she went straight into our bed from birth, and she's still there.
No, I love that approach. And I think, you know, like, a mother's instincts are there for a reason, and they're so strong. And I think the more that we listen to them and harness them, the more that we find that we just have the answers inside us. We don't need to be reaching for solutions externally almost, or even validations from other people. So I love that approach though, and I love that you just honor that. And obviously with Savannah, you're so much more open about it and sharing that. And I think that that's such a beautiful thing, because I know personally, like, when I was trying to do the sleep schedules and stuff at the start, it would just stress me out more. Like, I'd become so anxious and wound up because I wasn't fitting to this guide, this time frame that, you know, someone had printed out in a guide that they made for a one size fits all. And look, yeah, I know everyone, each to their own, and some babies it works so well for them, and I think that's amazing. But for me personally, it just wasn't working for me. It was making me feel like I was failing. And I think the more that I just started to tune into me and to, like, you know, to my baby and what I thought my baby would need, the easier and easier it becomes. And it's so true. Every stage is just a phase. Like, you know, I'm still feeding Georgia to sleep as well at 10 months. And some days I'm like, I wonder how this will ever stop. Like, how will I get to a point where I put her in the cot without boob? But I'm like, then I remind myself, it's okay. You'll cross that bridge when you come to it. You don't need to worry about it now.
You know what? Like, I'm actually in the process of selling my cot. I'm like, you know what? I'm not even going to pretend she's going to be in there. She's 1.5 and she's still being fed to sleep and sleeping in our bed. But it's not a bad thing. I just feel like second time round, like, Ruby, I blinked and she's 4. But when you're in the moment of it all, it seems like it, like, lasts forever. But it doesn't last forever. And the days are long, but the years are just so short and they grow up so quick, and you might like if you're trying to fight your baby to go to sleep or follow all of these unrealistic routines, you might regret it later and think, why didn't I just cuddle her? Like they just grow up so fast. It's quite sad.
Yeah. No, I love that advice. And I guess to any sleep deprived mums, like especially new mums, because exactly what you just said, like when you're in it, you're in it, like, and you kind of can't see through the fog, and it feels like it's going to last forever because the days are really long. But you look back and then you're like, holy crap, where did those few months go? I guess to any mamas that are just really feeling that exhaustion right now, what one piece of advice would you give them?
Oh, just exactly that, just to be grateful for the moments that you have now. Like just looking back on videos, in such a short space of time, they just grow up so fast and they start to learn all these new abilities, and at the time you just don't realize it. But I just think to just appreciate them as little babies now. I promise you it will not last forever. And take as many videos as you can, because I just feel like 5 years, 10 years, 15 years down the track, you're going to look back on those videos and you're going to think about, like, look back on them in a completely different perspective. And it's going to be really beautiful, but it's just so hard right now. I've been there. Trust me. I feel like I'll make myself cry.
No, it's such nice advice. And do you know the funniest thing? My mum and dad did so many home videos of us when we were kids, and it's still like our favourite thing is going and watching our home videos, and it's the best. Like, I love, so precious being able to look back on that. So I can't even imagine being able to do it with your own kids. So
photos are lovely, but there's just something about videos. Not enough videos are taken. Like, even if you look like shit and you're completely sleep deprived and you don't want a video, just something to look back on and be like, oh my gosh, remember that, remember how I went through that. Otherwise, when you're just stuck in it all, it's just so easy to forget. And I took a video of me giving birth to Savannah, and it's like gold in my computer. I've backed it up 3 times. Like, I am so grateful that I filmed that. Filming all of it is just as much as you can, I think, and saving it somewhere so you can look back and remember it all.
We'll be right back after this healthy break. If you follow The Healthy Hustlers, then you'll know my aim with this podcast is to inspire you to live your healthiest and happiest lives. For me, that starts at home with my family. And that's exactly why I'm so incredibly proud to be an ambassador for Lovekins. Lovekins is a pure, natural Australian skincare range for mothers and babies that supports local communities by using sustainable native ingredients. Their range of premium products are natural, organic, and infused with Australian superfoods. I'm so excited to let you know that you can now get Lovekins' full range of natural, plant-based baby skincare and nappies easily and conveniently at Baby Bunting nationwide. Rest easy knowing you are giving your babe's skin the most nourishing and protective care possible. I believe good health requires a full circle approach, free from toxic ingredients and harmful chemicals. And that's exactly why, as a mum, I choose Lovekins. To find out more about their toxic-free, all-natural product range, head to lovekins.com or simply click the link in the show notes. So you've touched on your feeding journey a little bit, as in you're still feeding Savannah to sleep.
Yeah.
You're very open about this online, which I really love. And I love that you share all of that stuff with your community. I think especially with a year like this that we're having, when so many new mums are in isolation and not getting that, I guess, human connection with new mums, it's just so, so important. Can you talk to me a little bit about your feeding journeys with both the girls? Were they different, or have you kind of just breastfed the whole way through with both of them?
Oh, so different. When I fed Ruby, I had to go back to work. My milk supply dropped dramatically, and I tried so hard to pump at work, but it just wasn't a priority for me back then. I ended up stopping around like 5.5, 6 months. And I think unconsciously I stopped because I thought in my head that, you know, usually people feed until 6 months or 12 months. Anything over 12 months is weird. That's how I used to think. Like, that's just strange. Why not stop before that? They don't need milk, like breast milk. And that was the kind of thought patterns that I had back then. So I thought that I was reaching my standard time to feed, and I thought 6 months was, that's my expiry. And I didn't try any harder. And I look back and think, now that I'm still feeding Sav and she's 15 months old, like nearly 16 months old, well past a year, I'm like, wow, I wish I seen more photos of people normalizing feeding babies over 12 months back then, because I think it may have changed my mind a little bit. And the more that I share my journey along the way, the more feedback I get, more connections I make. And like, I can't believe the amount of people who tell me that they still feel embarrassed to feed in public, or like they've had just troubles latching, or, you know, the amount of people that I get unfollow me when I take a photo and post it on my feed of me nursing a 15-month-old is like gobsmacking. You just don't think it exists, but it just does. So I feel really proud that I'm doing that this time around.
Yeah, good on you. I love that so much. And I think it's so important to be sharing it. And that makes me really sad that people actually unfollow you. Like, that actually just, like, when you said that, I'm like, oh my goodness, is that actually where we're at in society? Like, that people would unfollow you for feeding your baby. Yeah, it's really interesting though that you touched on that, because I remember having Georgia and being like, my mum breastfed me, I think, till 6 months. So that was always in my head, well, I'll just do it for 6 months and then like my job's done. And I also had the approach of, oh, as soon as she had teeth, like that's it. I'm not having a baby with teeth feeding on me.
That's it. I think people think when they have teeth, it just becomes not normal anymore for some reason.
It's funny because it's one of those experiences that I've cherished more as the time's gone on. Like, I don't think I appreciated it as much in the early days because, you know, it was what you were expected to do. It was a normal, natural process. I also found it quite exhausting and overwhelming. So a lot of the time I wanted it to be over. But as the time's gone on, I'm like, oh, it's actually a really beautiful thing to be able to do with my baby girl. And like, what a great head start I'm able to give her from feeding her from my body. So it's really interesting, I think, the different journeys that people have. And I just love that you're someone that's making so many women feel comfortable about having their own unique journey, because they're all unique to us, to you and your daughter, just like you had a different one with Ruby compared to Savannah. So I love that you share that so much. I think it's a really beautiful and special thing and something you'll always cherish as well.
Yeah. And like, you know, babies don't understand society standards. You know, they just want to feel safe and nurtured and loved. And if obviously there's people that haven't been able to breastfeed successfully, and that's completely understandable. But if there's someone that I can help that is feeling pressured and wants to stop just because they think that other people are judging them, and I post a photo, if that can help, then I'm like, my job here is done. I'm soaked.
And how did you personally find the transition from going from one to two babies? Because that's something that I'm like, holy moly, how do women go for number two?
Once again, you know, you make a mountain out of a molehill. Is that the saying? Like, in your head, yeah. I was pregnant. I'm like, oh my gosh, how? Like, I would think about the hard days that I have with just Ruby, and then like times it by two and try and imagine how much harder that's going to be with two. And, you know, I just start to really work myself up. And you know what, to be honest, I think when Sav came along as a newborn, she was actually really easy. It's not until now that I'm finding it, like, around, you know, once she gets to the crawling age, the walking age, the second kids are just like neck level. Like, I don't know, that everyone that I talk to, always say that the second kids they seem to be like, they just reach those milestones faster. They have those leaps earlier. It's like they're just trying to catch up with their older sibling or siblings. And you're just like, oh my gosh, slow down, mate. And like the fighting, the just constantly trying to do whatever Ruby does and just completely having a meltdown and a tantrum if she can't do it. Like, now at this age, I find the hardest. So yeah. The earlier transitioning was like, okay, it was all right. It was better than what I expected. But now I'm like, oh gosh, like, this is heavy.
That's so funny. This is next level. And did you always imagine yourself as a girl mama, or did you think you'd have boys earlier? Where was your head at?
I knew I'd have two girls. I feel like
you do.
My mum always says, she always says this, like, if I say something, she's like, I knew it. And it just drives me nuts. But I'm like, no. I'm turning into my mum right now. I knew it. Like, I swear, when I was pregnant with Sav, we did the whole like gender reveal, and when I bursted that balloon and pink little ribbons of, like, what is it called, confetti came out, I was like, knew it. I just knew it. I still feel like I will eventually have another baby and I'll have a little boy, but I don't know. I'm really happy because when I grew up, I would be friends with sisters and I really felt jealous of that. And now I've got like two little, you know, sisters of my, like not sisters of my own, obviously, but they're sisters. And I get to watch them grow up and I love it so much.
Yeah, that's so, so beautiful. I love seeing the girls together as well. You can just tell that they will be besties forever. I think it's such a special bond to be able to grow up with a sister.
Yeah, I am nervous. Don't get me wrong.
I know, if we talk when they're 16, you might be a little bit like, okay, times are crazy, but at the moment. Yeah. Now, you've touched on your business, and I guess that's something that I would really love to know, how you personally juggle the demands of your business with also being, you know, such a present and beautiful mum.
You know what? I think this year has been the most testing year of all since I changed over my Instagram and, you know, started doing things separately. I had other people come on board and help me with the Milk Boutique, which meant a huge amount of adjustment and like handing over the reins and letting other people do what they do best. So I've had to adjust to that. But like just trying to not become completely overwhelmed and like drown in it, because if I was to think too hard about the daily tasks that I have at hand, I'd probably have a panic attack. So like just trying to think about one task at a time, and if something comes up, you know, pops up in my email or something seems urgent at the time and I'm with the girls, I just have to like really reinforce to myself that it like cannot wait, cannot just wait, because Ruby needs me. You know, she's pretending to be a horse right now and she really wants me to watch her, and it is important to her. So like sometimes I get caught up in it and I just have to really remind myself that it can wait at least until the girls are, one's down for a nap and one's doing something on her own. So it can be hard to switch off like that, but I'm learning as I go. So yeah, I guess that's kind of how I've handled it so far. And having a business coach has been an absolute game changer for me as well.
Yeah. Okay. So what made you take that step as to getting a business coach?
I just knew that there was so much potential for the Milk Boutique and I wasn't able to supply it as a person on my own, as a mum of two, like with, you know, just trying to get through, survive the normal daily tasks. It needed more people. It deserved to have people who do what they do extremely well. And so I thought, like, I want to get it to that next level. You know, eventually it comes a time when you have to outsource things, that you could spend that time either being with the kids or doing what you're good at doing. And I didn't realize at the time, you know, I always just thought I could save money, I could just do it all. But I ended up meeting with a friend and business coach, and she was like looking at me like, how are you not, you know, burning out right now? And I'm like, I am. And she's been the best thing that I've ever done, like ever had come on board. She is incredible. She keeps me in line, keeps me motivated. Having other people like knowing as much as you, knowing where your business is at, knowing the next step, knowing the visions, just keeps you motivated as well.
And just having that accountability as well, I could imagine would really help you.
100% the accountability of it all. Like she's a bit of a tough nut. Like if I haven't done something, she's like, why? You know, it's good to have that kind of the boss person come on board and tell me off, because I need it sometimes.
I think it's also so nice to just have someone that's so invested in your vision as well, to kind of be there almost cheering you on and giving you that advice and guidance. I know it probably seems like such a risky or scary thing to take that leap and to get a coach at the start, but it's so good to hear that it was, you know, has been such a amazing stepping stone for you and to really kind of take things to the next level.
Yeah, 100%. Like I know there's been other people who have had business coaches, and when you hear the word business coach, you're like, oh yeah, but does it really work? But I feel like I just struck gold and found the most perfect person that I could find for my business. And she has all the same styles as me, and she's helped me rebrand. And yeah, it's been a godsend, 100%.
That's awesome. So let's talk about the spark between you and your hubby. You obviously just got engaged, which is so exciting, and I'm sure that is helping keep the love bubble alive. But yeah. I guess for any, you know, new mums or mamas listening, how do you guys really prioritize, I guess, without those special moments of an engagement, but like on an everyday level, how do you kind of try to keep that spark alive and a little bit of you two amongst, you know, the business and the girls?
I think for us, humor, like just being able to have a laugh, just not taking things so seriously. Like if we, you know, sometimes, you know, if we're in the car and you've got two kids screaming in the back and we like look at each other, like really, like we could either, you know, take it out on each other, which of course we've done before, but sometimes we just look at each other and just laugh. And it's so good because we're like, wow, this is crazy. So I think, you know, just having a sense of humor about it all as much as possible. And I think, you know, we've been together for 10 and a half years now. We've been through a lot of struggles and we've really learned how to communicate and just understand each other better. And I think before we weren't communicating very well, we communicate better now and just not hold grudges against each other as well, which is really easy to do when you're a mother. It's so easy, you know, just the little things. You're already on edge and then they just don't put their dirty clothes in the basket and just next to it and you're like, that's it. You know, it's so easy to just, you know, cut them. Not physically, obviously, but just
so
like,
true.
Just shut down and, you know, if they don't understand sometimes what it's like, you know, being at home with the kids. So, and I appreciate that now. And, you know, Jason's downstairs right now with both the kids and I can hear him screaming. So, yeah, he knows what it's like.
Now he really knows. He's in the trenches with you. Yeah. He knows what's going on. So, Tammy, what does the future hold for you?
Well, we actually have a lot of stuff going on at the moment. Jason has just stopped working for, he was a truck driver. I'm actually, this is like brand new news, but we're planning to move interstate.
And that is so exciting. Wow.
Yeah, I'm really scared, but it's a huge leap for us. Just with the way that things are just panning out at the moment, the way things are aligning. Jason's like, you know, he's working such long hours in the truck and I need help at home with the kids and work, and we're both, yeah, risk takers. And so we're just like, you know what, you know, the kids are young, they're not in school yet, let's just go for it and do something new, because we don't want to grow old and think back and go, we wish that we'd tried, you know, at the time when we had the opportunity, why didn't we just go for it, you know, get a new lifestyle and go live somewhere else for 12 months and work together as a little duo. So, yeah, we're going to move to Queensland, hopefully. We're just hopefully it works out with, you know, with COVID and everything. I'm praying there's not a huge second wave, and obviously we've got to monitor that. But far out. It's happening.
That is amazing news. That is so, so exciting. So is it Gold Coast or?
No, most likely Brisbane. We've got friends and family there and we've been there so many times, and we've just, every time we go there, we're like, why don't we live here? And it's like, you know, sometimes it's just easy to become comfortable where you are, and you think that, you know, we've always had that mentality that we're stuck here because this is where we've grown up, but we're just like, you know, little caterpillars coming out and turning into little butterflies and off we go. So
oh, that is awesome. I love hearing that. That is so exciting for you guys. Well, I'm sure that it will all work out, absolutely. But it is, yeah, it's crazy times to think that, you know, for the first time, I think a lot of people are experiencing having these big plans and these goals, and all of a sudden we're so restricted to what we can do. It's overwhelming feeling at times. So I wish you all the best with that. I'm sure that it will absolutely come to life, and I can't wait to visit you in Brisbane.
Oh, yeah, more than welcome. Let's hope that it pans out okay.
Oh, Tammy, thank you so much for joining me today. I've loved chatting to you and absolutely adore following you, all your motherhood wisdom. Where can the audience find you if they would like to keep following your journey?
Yeah, if they want to head over to check out any of my Nursing Friendly Activewear, they can check out the Milk Boutique. So it's just the Milk Boutique on Instagram. My Instagram, my personal one, like the mummy blogger one, is tammy.tmb. Yeah, that's my two main accounts, really.
Oh, I love it. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been so exciting.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please hit the subscribe button and leave a 5-star review. For any products mentioned in today's show, please check the show notes below and hit the direct links. If you'd like to suggest a future guest, please follow @TheHealthyHustlers on Instagram and send through a direct message. Until next week, don't forget to invest in you.